Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Aw, don't cry, Juan. Your luck. I got your seat on that bus. I mean, unless, of course, you've decided to provide your name and proof of citizenship.
All right. My name is Cristobal Rios. You can call me Chris Rios. Good either way.
Occupation?
Captain of the USS Stargazer. You wouldn't know it. It's a starship from the year 2400. I'm on an ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, seek out new life and civilizations, but instead I'm stuck back in a particularly primitive past, no offense, trying to correct the timeline so I can, you know. With whom, you ask? A ragtag group of misfits, including one cybernetic queen that I'm fairly certain is in it just to wipe out all of humanity with her old cohort. Across the old Admiral, who, if I understand it correctly, is now a flesh and blood robot. I can't be sure because nobody can explain it to me.
You know, whenever I hear people freestyle rapping and like they don't make the rhyme, like not like when people are good at it, but people are trying to pretend to freestyle rap.
Right.
And when they don't make the rhyme, I'm like, in my head, I'm always like, oh, I would have rhymed this with this. I would be so good at this. But it's seriously, when you're doing it, it's fucking hard to think of those rhymes like on the spot, even if you get a lot of time. It's easy to look at someone else and be like, they should have said, they should have said this and this and this. But then when you're on the spot, that's what I'm saying. If you're good at it, I'm saying it's much more impressive. I mean, it's already impressive, but it's even more impressive than it seems to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's this level impressive, but then I have to keep reminding myself, it's like, no, it's actually more impressive. And so next time I think of it, I try to think of, oh, it's this much impressive plus this. And then I'm like, no, you still didn't think of it's impressive enough because you always underestimate it. So I'll try to overestimate it next time, but then I'm still underestimating because I'm taking that into account.
Hmm.
All right. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We are talking about Star Trek Picard.
It's a breeze this week, man.
We're talking about... because previous weeks, the previous 3 weeks, we produced two separate Star Trek podcast episodes per week to cover two new episodes of Star Trek.
I know there's people that do this on the radio and also podcasters who do shit like this all the time. But that's pretty... It's impressive to be able to do that much. Like, imagine working the radio and doing 4 hours a day.
This is the definition of patting ourselves on the back.
It was like driving a long way and then driving back.
That's actually really impressive.
No, I'm actually... No. I'm actually going somewhere else with this. What I'm saying is I'm complaining about having to do an extra hour of podcasting. Meanwhile, you get these motherfuckers that do this shit for hours at a time a day. You know what I'm saying?
I get you. So it's sort of a humble brag.
No, because it's...
We're awesome, but, you know, not so awesome as the professionals.
I was more going towards I'm a lazy piece of shit because little extra work makes me all sad, but...
Just a wee bit of extra work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, this week we are just doing the...
it is true that you got to watch it.
The one episode.
You got to draw. You got to watch two episodes, and so it's a lot. That's more.
You
got to
watch two episodes. You got to.
It's more work.
Talk about two episodes. You got to think about two episodes. This week is just one episode. Star Trek Picard season 2 episode 4.
I don't get in that problem where it's like, oh wait, I shouldn't mention that in this episode. I got to wait till the next episode to mention this point. You know.
The Watcher. That's the name of the episode. The Watcher.
The Watcher.
Yeah.
I watched you watch.
Yeah, exactly.
The Watcher.
So why did they pick 2024 not now? I was thinking about that. Why 2024? Is it just kind of like because it's a few years ahead of time?
Yeah, it's just enough.
It's kind of so we're warned. We feel sufficiently warned that this is the direction we're heading pretty much.
You still change the future.
Right.
They don't have to include like contemporary stuff. Exactly. Just have a bunch of cars that look familiar.
Add a little extra flair to the cars.
You know, ice bullshit. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's stuff that we know, but it's not
And specific plus stuff. The past tense, the easy connection. We're close enough to make that connection to the past tense. Right. Deep Space Nine two-parter.
Well,
takes place in 2024.
The what two-parter?
The past tense two-parter.
They're talking about sanctuary.
Oh, areas.
Sanctuary districts. Yeah. You know when Bashir and Sisko were all rocking out.
Okay,
but they're in San Francisco.
That's probably more specifically why they chose it was that.
I suspect so.
Was because of DS9.
A little of this and a little of that.
I just happened to work out okay. But then that worked out okay because DS9 probably... why did DS... Well, back then, that was many decades in the future.
Exactly. Which is wild and depressing. Because in Deep Space Nine, it was like, watch out, folks. 25 years in the future, you guys could fuck yourselves up. But yes, unfortunately, we've only got a couple of years in this scenario.
Right. So I'm really enjoying Picard a lot. I think it's, I'm like, you know, Discovery, I was enjoying it. I definitely was enjoying it. I was definitely entertained. And but there were sometimes I was feeling a little just like, there's this. But
it's 13 episodes. It's a more intense story. This is a bit more of a fun Star Trek mystery story with Kent Picard prancing about.
Yeah, that's kind of what
all sorts of clever stuff.
That's what I think. What I'm really digging about it is it kind of lets the gas off of the seriousness a bit, and it feels a little more Star Trek.
Discovery gets real heavy, man.
Yeah, which is fine. It's just I tend to like.
It's good, but it's like you know it can't be all the time like that. You know?
And there's different types of heavy because Discovery tends to be a little bit more on the interpersonal heaviness versus Picard right now is doing the existential, you know, political, environmental.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
heavy, but there's some distance between you and it compared to Discovery. You see things and you're like, oh man, I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah.
We don't know how it feels to be time traveling and have Q messing around and have the Borg queen waving her spine bits at us.
And it feels a little masturbatory on Picard, but I dig it anyways, how like all the lines, there's so much riddling throughout the whole episode. All the lines are, of course, Q is the master of it. The master of the riddles, but the BQ was given some good riddles too, and like they all just speak in riddles all the time.
BQ,
you know.
Oh, the Borg Queen. I keep forgetting that's the. Did you come up with that? Is that your?
That's me.
You've been pushing that.
I've been pushing that hard.
Was that when did you start that? Last week?
At least last week or 2 weeks ago. I thought it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was last week.
I know. I was perusing the internet and then I was seeing references of the Borg Queen, but then I was thinking BQ, and then I thought, oh no, I think that's something Dan's been pushing on the podcast.
Yeah, I've been pushing that BQ real hard. Got to start saying BQ. It's much easier than Borg Queen.
But not.
I mean, it's the same amount of syllables, but it rolls off the tongue nicer.
Not BBQ, because that would be.
BQ.
That would be a typo.
Debatable point.
What were you saying? DBQ?
Not BBQ.
DB Cooper?
Okay, you would, I think, what would you
be? Stole all that money and jumped off the airplane?
Would you be more likely to name your kid BQ or Borg Queen?
Okay.
Borg Queen.
Because it sounds more like a name.
Borg Queen.
BQ, BQ, Borg Queen, Borg Queen, Borg Queen.
She's Swedish or something.
BQ, BQ, BQ. See, that rolls off the tongue. BQ.
Borg Queen.
It sounds like some bird from a different country. It's like BQ, BQ.
I like birds from a bird.
You don't mean a bird from a different country.
Like
you
the
mean
onomatopoeia
a,
of
you mean a different language's interpretation.
Yeah, of a bird sound.
Like how in North America, chicken often goes what, bacaw or something?
Chicken goes bagak.
Bagak,
bagak, bagak.
But in France,
cluck,
it's all
cluck,
like.
Cluck, cluck,
is,
cluck,
it, is it is in France that it's kikirikiri? Or
I thought that was more like Central
America. Maybe that's
South America.
South American Spanish. Regardless, why don't you write in to feedback at itsgotstartrek.com and let us know, what do chickens sound like in your neck of the woods?
That's a good question, actually.
Do they just sound like...
We've got listeners in almost every country, honestly, so please...
Even not Botswana.
Write in and let us know.
Botswana.
Don't assume.
Botswana.
Don't assume.
A park in Botswana.
One of your fellow country people is gonna send it in. You take the initiative out there. You, listening right now, take the initiative and write in, if you live outside of the United States, what sound... does a chicken make?
Hurry up, because supplies are limited.
Or what sound does any other animal make? And we can have a big debate about it. I mean, granted, it doesn't really have much to do with Star Trek. We do.
Do you say penguin or do you say penguin?
You just said Patrick? Penguin. Do you say
Star Trek podcast?
Do you say pancakes or pancakes?
Pancakes.
Pancakes. No, not pancakes.
Do you say pancakes?
Do you say strawberry or strawberry?
Do you say bin or bean?
I don't say raspberry. I say raspberry.
I say raspberry too, just to make the point that I know how to spell it.
Yeah.
It's an arrogance thing.
Yeah.
It's a pretension.
Just trying to put people in their place kind of thing.
Just trying to be pretentious. I'm not trying to put them in their place. I'm trying to keep my own place.
I see. There is a slight difference. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Yeah. So here in North America, cats in the US at least, cats say meow. I think I heard this, and I don't know if this is true, but in Japan, a cat is what called, it's like Nico?
Neko.
Neko?
Neko.
I thought it was Nico.
Neko.
Nico?
Neko. Neko. I'm sure it's a similar pronunciation thing. This is not Star Trek. Why are we?
The point is that I thought they called it that because that's how the noise a cat makes is Niko in Japanese, but I could be totally making that up.
That's not what a cat
means. But
you know, different countries have different, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how different countries have different versions of Star Trek that we all appreciate. Just like animals have different words they say depending on what country you're in. That's what the point we were making, right?
All right. Let's veer back onto topic.
Reel it back into
the old.
So an
aspect that I enjoy about this season of Picard is that they have, like a lot of the other shows, they've had a lot of Easter eggs or even important tie-ins to other things that happened on Trek throughout Trek history and not just on The Next Generation, on a lot of other shows. This episode, of course, had no shortage of that general. And we're going to get to some of the more obvious examples here. Right? But I think we should start out the episode with a brief discussion about what we think is going on here, because we're at episode 4.
First, I want to know
apple soda.
What did you guys think of? How do you guys think Picard is so far?
I'm digging it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm digging it partly because it's
magical.
It seems to be telling a good tale with that's not super predictable.
Yeah.
But gives you enough little crumbs to get an idea of what's going on. Like a lot of people last week were saying, like, oh, the Watcher's going to be Guinan. But of course, we meet Guinan, and it's like, they're all like, aha. And then at the end, it's like, no.
And there's little fun moments how when Raffi blows up that window with the phaser, first of all, I like that effect. But when she sat in there, and then she was able to easily, start the car, and Seven was like, you could have just unlocked the door. She's like, but this is more awesome.
And
basically,
then Seven of Nine proceeds to drive like a fucking LA.
But when they have those moments where they basically point out, like, you could have unlocked the door like on your own, you didn't have to do it that way. That's essentially preempting the audience. I feel like it's the audience being, so they can be like, wait, if she was able to do that, then why that? And instead of trying to run away from it, they like lean into it. And so I think that's cool. But yeah, Seven could have totally backed into some motherfuckers when she was flying out backwards. That was the biggest problem. Because you notice they put their seatbelts on.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you're getting all animated.
Yeah, seatbelts don't help if you're going
Dan
backwards.
Dan is wagging his fingers. He's double fisting, wagging fingers.
Only Diet Mountain Dew and Coke Zello this week. monster drink. No monster drink. But did you notice do you think they clicked their tick? They're clicking their tick.
What's going on?
Clicking their ticket.
Do
you think they put on their
See something, say something.
Do you think they put their seatbelts on as a public service announcement or like.
See it, say it.
Why'd they make a point of putting their seatbelts on? Because they didn't even just put them on. Raffi was like, put your seatbelt on. Maybe it's because Seven wouldn't know what a seatbelt was because they don't know what those are in the future, but Raffi knew.
Yeah, they certainly don't have seatbelts on the bridges of Starfleet vessels.
I think on the shuttlecraft.
I don't know if they did that to remind people to click their seatbelts. But, you know, the only problem
NBC, the more you know style thing.
Exactly.
And she just drove out of there.
Right.
And she, smashed through the gate. It's like, well, of course they're going to fucking chase that.
Yeah. My main problem with Seven's driving was backing out of the spot, because that was not safe.
Going down a one-way street
she
against heavy traffic
that,
was
almost
best
ran over
fine.
That lawyer well, that was crossing the shit at
none
the
of, none of those were optimal. None of those were optimal. but if with enough skill, you can you can dodge the cars and things. But going backwards out of a spot,
no amount of skill will protect you there.
Exactly. Precisely.
Because you could just run over somebody.
Yeah. But she is lucky that the car swerved out of the way. I was driving the other night and a fucking car was driving on the wrong side of the street and jumped over the median and launched itself and went like,
holy
and there
was hell,
sparks and shit. It was fucked up.
Is that what Arlington's like?
This is what Dude, it's fucking like two in the morning on a Saturday morning in all any of Virginia. I've seen you see
not, in, not in Vienna, sir.
It's not like I see it every fucking night.
you'd never see this sort of behavior in Vienna.
Never.
I don't
not
think
in Vienna,
it's a,
Virginia.
My answer,
never.
Answer is I don't think it's an Arlington thing. No, I think it's a drunk people thing.
Okay. All right.
There's
yes.
drunk people in Northern Virginia okay. as well as in other parts of the world where we have listeners who don't know about Arlington.
Fair enough.
Or our local version
just
of Vienna,
yeah.
which is a great place, but not quite so grand as the Vienna
the
located
actual
in,
Vienna.
In Österreich. I'm attempting to make an insightful point.
Yes, yes. I went on a tangent.
A semi-insightful point because this is a discussion that's been going on the internet, although... you know, I was catching some of this vibe when I watched the episode the first time through as well. Gary Seven, Assignment Earth, right?
Right.
I'm thinking that this is where they're going. And so for some clarification for people who are not familiar with that episode, which may include Dan, because Jesse
we talked
and I,
about that episode.
Yeah, we talked about Assignment Earth on, I think it was like episode... I want to say 78 of
with
the podcast.
I think
Jimmy?
I think I was off capturing Hope Diamonds or
well,
something.
Well, you were on Assignment were. Fart.
Assignment Fart, yeah.
Well, we were watching Assignment Earth. Yeah, Dan wasn't on that episode. We had a guest host Jimmy. Was
Jimmy in person or was he like remote?
I don't remember.
I can't even remember.
We
got to
go listen.
Jimmy would remember.
But Dan, you should check out, if you
call
haven't listened, check out that podcast. Check out that episode because I have a... feeling that is going to become relevant to this this season of Picard because in Assignment Earth, I'm not going to give spoilers for that episode because it's a cool episode to watch and our podcast conversation was very entertaining. In that episode, the Enterprise travels back in time to 1968, the year that episode aired. They encounter this person named Gary Seven, who is a human.
It was like a mixture between Gary Mitchell and Seven of Nine.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Seven
probably
of
not
nine,
really.
Gary
Mitchell, and here's the deal. Gary Mitchell is...
Gary Seven?
He was sent by some aliens.
Are you talking about Gary Seven or Gary Mitchell now?
Gary Seven. Did I say Gary Mitchell?
Yeah, you did.
I'm not...
Fuck, man.
I'm not jokingly.
Yeah, not that
Gary
bad.
Mitchell is I'm not jokingly. Kenneth Mitchell is the actor who played a number of roles on Star Trek Discovery. All right. And...
I'm not jokingly.
Gary Seven is this character from the Assignment Earth episode. Anyway, he was sent by some aliens as he's a supervisor. He's supervisor 194 or something like that.
He's a supervisor.
He's a supervisor.
That's right,
who's tasked with keeping, like, their job is to keep the Earth from blowing itself up with nukes. Right. And they also travel through portals that look very like rectangular portals.
It was
things.
Like it was a smoke cube portal that was pretty. I like that effect. I thought that effect
it
was pretty
really
neat.
Cool. And, but it also was very, very similar to the Gary Seven Assignment Earth ones. And the other thing that was interesting about that episode was the plot sort of hinges around like a launch of an Apollo rocket and something going to be messed up in the timeline, like if something's messed up with the Apollo rocket launch, and that's why Gary Seven is part of the plot line to that story. And it seems in this series they keep mentioning this Europa mission.
Yeah, Q is wearing the Europa mission shirt at the end.
And the Europa mission seems to be the fulcrum of what this, you know, they keep talking about. They have to do something.
It's Europa is
something
the
about
fulcrum.
That seems like that's important. They keep showing the ads and the billboards. And it was an ad on the bus that went by, which, by the way, mimicked in Star Trek IV. It's one of the Star Trek IV references. In Star Trek IV, there's a bus that has similar colors, even though it's in San Francisco. And it has an ad for the whales at the aquarium.
And it has the punk rocker with the... playing the same tune.
Yes,
it's the same song,
but it's an updated version.
He still hates you.
But then, but you notice how
he's
he
like,
all, he
I
touches,
still hate
he
you.
He touches his throat, and he's all like, "Oh, okay, oh,
yeah."
That's good. Apparently, that guy's name is Kirk Thatcher.
Yes, it's Kirk Thatcher.
And the same dude.
Yeah, it's I same think dude. It's the same dude. I think he wrote that
yes, he and, that I, and I think he even got a couple of the original band members together to record this new version.
Oh man, it's even cooler than
he
I thought.
He looks like he at first he kind of looked like, okay, if any of you saw Cobra Kai, I'm sure this guy's been in other stuff too, apparently, like I, Tonya and Cruella, I don't know, but his name is Paul Walter Hauser, and he looks kind of like, and you guys don't know who that is, and nobody knows who that is, so this is a story that goes
somebody
nowhere.
Somebody knows,
but it looked kind of like him. But yeah, that Kirk Thatcher guy, you're saying he's done some stuff. He's done some things.
Kirk Thatcher.
You make that sound fucking sinister,
Kirk
man.
Kirk Thatcher has done things.
He's done some things. He's written music or something.
So the words to the new version of the song are.
Oh, he made a cameo as Punk on the Street in 2017 Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, I remember that. But the new words to the song are 35 years later and nothing much has changed. Those in charge are living large. The rest are all deranged because I still hate you. Yeah. Can't wait to eviscerate you because I still hate all of you. The temperatures are rising. The sea level as well. And that's where the song cuts off.
Yeah, that's a cool song.
He also appears to have the exact same boombox.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's yeah.
I don't know if it's the same prop or not, but if what they made it look identical.
It looks like it's fucking old.
Dan and I were recently, we saw Star Trek IV in the movie theater. Yeah.
Theater.
Not too long ago.
I saw Wrath of Khan last week.
So, right. And so in that scene, I guess, yeah, it wasn't a perfect analog because, you know, there's some things between Star Trek IV and this that are very similar, obviously. The character of Dr. Teresa Ramirez, I guess, is kind of like, who's that? The Dr. Gillian Taylor.
Yes.
Gillian, I don't know. Who is the doctor? So they're both these doctors that are like doing some good and they're learning.
Except one was a people doctor and one was a whale doctor.
Yeah. So presumably, I'm guessing Dr. Teresa Ramirez is going to at some point learn what the truth is about like where these people are from.
Do you think she's going to go to the future?
That's a good question. Probably not. They're probably going to leave her behind. Well, everything's going to go back to normal because they're going to be like for Lou. Okay. Luna, who was I can't remember. Was Luna's, is that Picard's dog?
No, Picard's dog is number one. Yeah, Picard's dog is, I believe they're pit bulls. They were both pit bulls.
So is
Luna is a new character. It's just Guinan's 21st century dog.
Because when Picard said hi to Luna, it seemed like he'd known Luna already, but he didn't. But it just seemed like
he just digs on that. And Patrick Stewart in real life is a big fan of pit bulls.
Word up. So, is the timeline going to go back to the same? But can you say there's any other analogs between characters? I mean, you could say...
Rios getting hit on the head and going to the hospital is a thing, and Chekhov was under detention for a while and then, you know, has to be broken out / escape.
But now instead of Chekhov, but now he's sort of being like little Shatnery because he's befriending the doctor, you know? And I was thinking that because of the dude on the bus, the punk rocker on the bus, and Seven was yelling at him like she was...
Spock or, well, actually, Kirk.
Or Kirk.
She was Kirk.
And then Raffi would have been Spock, and Raffi is the is spunky, you know, so I don't know, but Spock's not spunky. I don't know where I'm going with this at all.
As you know, there need not be one-to-one.
Not one-to-one, but I'm trying to find
analogs.
Like, where the crossovers are, and I guess it's not really that important to think about, honestly. But yeah, that scene was awesome, and it was cool. It was cool that, you know, they took it a different direction at the end. You know, he's like, oh, I'm really sorry, man. You know, so.
Yeah.
But if they said no, who would have kicked his ass? Would Raffi have kicked his ass, or would a 7 of 9 kick his ass?
They both kick his ass.
Because I love how Raffi was because Raffi was the angry. Ever since 7 of 9 has gone to Earth, she's been all chill, and Raffi has been losing her shit. And I like when Seven was like, "Your brain's in your fists right now."
That was a good line. A lot of really good lines in this episode. How about this? Let's take a quick break. Right? Just calm things down a little bit. We're all getting real excited. We're all excited.
You're talking about me.
I'm gonna have another.
I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about the audience. We'll just take a step back. Take a moment. We'll come right back, and we'll get excited again. Let's get excited about Star Trek together.
Already excited.
All right. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's ready to get yourselves riled up.
So,
get those juices flowing. Get all the wiggles out. Get all the wiggles out.
Squee. Yeah, then I like when Seven held Raffi back because she's like, we're going to give you your personal space back. I like that exchange. That was fun. I like Raffi's response when Seven was like, what the hell happened to no phasers? And Raffi's just like, I have no idea how this got here. That was like a really good delivery, I thought. So I'm really digging their sort of their relationship.
Oh, their timing is great together.
And I love that it was perfect when Jurati was like, you two need to work on communication. Yeah, like that, how that
Jurati.
Yeah, right. I thought that was like, you know, just out, you know, third person, you know, all their relationships balance out with each other.
I'm digging it. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I like Seven's, I mean, it's always the way she speaks, but it's coming out more in these episodes where they've traveled back in time. Her use of language is hilarious when she's always referring to like the authorities.
Right.
And, you know, last episode, there was a little bit more of that with the camera and the picture.
Cellular picture.
It reminds you that this Seven of Nine has lived longer and matured and had more experiences and become more comfortable with herself, but it's still good old Seven of Nine with a slight awkward. She's never going to go back. She's never going to be like 100% pure, normal human person. She's got that Borg flavor still floating around in her.
Yeah. Even when her and Raffi first went to the hospital, or the clinic or whatever. And then I guess that was the nurse. I'm assuming that was a nurse because of what she was wearing.
Okay, dude. I think it's
because she wasn't wearing a white coat. I know nurses, doctors know, wear those too.
That checks out.
She could be
that
a surgeon. She could be a surgeon, but they probably don't have surgeons at clinics.
The doctor was the mother.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's okay.
I know. No, I'm just saying.
Like, she was probably the nurse. Yes.
Well, okay.
Because they didn't arrest her,
or maybe the assistant administrator.
So yes. Yeah. So when she was telling them that there was a clinic down the street, and like this was more subtle, but it was still Seven. She goes, no, we don't need medical assistance.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, yeah, sure, some normal person could say that, but that's...
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
Yeah. So on the way here, it was interesting. I was listening to the local NPR affiliate. What is it?
Which one? AMU?
I think it's AMU, the one that is most popular for listening to talk. Like, oh, wait, don't tell me.
Yeah, I think AMU tends to have.
Yeah, I think it was WAMU. And they were
WAMU.
WNBC.
Washington, D.C. American University.
WAMBC. They were talking about the right whale. The right whale.
Yes, yes. Classic whale. Yeah. Right whales are some classic whale business.
Yeah, there's
it's a right
whale. Humpback whales were actually made more popular by Star Trek IV. Before, they were just considered trash whales.
No, no.
Everyone was all about trash, the fucking mammals, right, yes, whales and the blue whales.
Trash whales.
You know?
Yeah, they are trash. They were and trash the narwhals. Whales. Well, the Star Trek IV succeeded in humpbacks, but now we need something to save the right whales because there's apparently like less than 300.
I think the right whales are all fucked up.
On the way over tonight, I was just listening about this and they were talking about there's like less than 350.
So are you hoping that the storyline turns out to be for Picard that they dive even deeper into the Star Trek IV analogies and make it about right whales?
Yeah, and it's still going to be because of that that techno virus that they were thinking about giving the Borg in that one TNG episode.
Why do you keep thinking this has anything to do with that? You've been saying that since the first episode of the season.
He's a Borg lover. He's a Borg lover, this guy.
He's a Borg lover. But it just seems like, you know... It seems like there should be something comes of that. Like what happens in a world where they did, because everyone's question in that episode is always like, not everyone's mind, but I'm sure a lot of other people are thinking like, yeah, I get what the point they're making, but come on, they could have gotten rid of the fucking Borg. Like, really?
And you're talking about the episode I, Borg, from Star Trek, and the next generation.
The whole
generation.
Reason they weren't able to get rid of the Borg was because of the way they did it.
Well, because in that episode, Picard had the opportunity to release a genocidal virus upon the Borg. I think one reason why,
and so my point is
I get it. It's important. It's a big, serious thing. I think,
and if this series showed that the results of if they had done that, the audience would better understand why that was important.
No, okay, no. I think because I get that this is a bit of tomfoolery on your part, at least 5% tomfoolery, but because of my nature, I have no choice but to provide a cogent response, which is that. I think that the answer to that question of what would happen if the Borg were like sort of effectively decimated has in effect been answered in Voyager with all the stuff they went through with the Borg. And there was a whole bunch of Janeway doing all sorts of stuff to fuck up the Borg and essentially disable them. It's not quite the same as a full genocide of the Borg, but still they've done a lot in that fucking area. Okay. Right? So probably in it for that reason, as well as others, I don't think it's going to come up. I don't think it's going to be related to that. However, you never know. Maybe they'll mention it. Maybe the Borg Queen will be like, you know, we heard you were going to do that. That's some shit. That's some bullshit.
But then we heard you didn't do it. So that's the only reason I'm not going to kill you. And then she'll like produce like.
She'll curl her little spine tail around his waist and sort of like hang out with him like on his side where they won't be assimilated.
Do you think about that? You think about that a lot, don't you?
I do. Where like the solution is that Picard, it's not only like, because before I said, I think probably one of the conclusions of this episode is that Picard is going to have to figure out a way to make peace literally internally and externally with the Borg, one of his greatest enemies ever, and who the enemy that most seriously impacted his life physically and mentally and all that. And while I still think that's the case, that could manifest in different ways. It could be a peace treaty, but it could also be that he and the Borg Queen make a deal where she curls her little spine tail around his waist and hangs out with him all the time and like promises not to stick nanites in him and stuff. Right. So they're not,
trying to do it on the sly. And he's like,
exactly.
Be cool.
But he's like an Android body now. So he's got a little bit, you know, maybe it's, I don't know exactly the deal. Maybe they'll do a whole sitcom.
She tries to say nice things to him, like, you know how many lights there were.
Yeah. She's just like, oh.
You were right the whole time.
The problem is how does this fit into them saving the right whales?
Well, yes, that's another possibility. I suppose you could have multiple.
So do you avenues. Think when in that episode where Kirk or Picard was remembering back to when he was a kid? I'm holding it together. But in the first one they were talking
where his mom gets all taken away.
Yeah, do you think that was the
right whale? That was a right whale.
It was an assimilated right whale.
So he has to make right with the right whales because it turns out they were the ones that attacked his mother.
Because the Borg assimilated the right whales, which is why.
Why would a whale attack anyone's mother?
Because they're assimilated.
He's saying it's a Borg whale.
That's why we have so few right whales, is because they got assimilated and they're living on the Borg cube, like cetacean ops in TNG. They got their own cetacean.
There's some measure of twisted logic to that.
Yeah.
To that theory.
But do you think it was, his mom, Picard's mom, got assimilated or something? I don't know.
No.
They would have mentioned that by now, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I don't know what happened to his mom. Like,
why'd she get dragged away? What if maybe the person who dragged his mom was actually Picard and he's like an evil monster, but an innocent kid at the same time? Maybe Picard is like as a kid he was the monster. Do you think that's what happened?
I'm unsupportive of this theory
of like Picard was like, it's like Children of the Corn or whatever, the ones where the kids are like,
Children
I'm
of the
so
Vine.
Normal, you're so naughty, and then they like stab them a bunch of times, you know.
I'll throw my weight against a great many things, but not that theory. I cannot throw my weight behind that theory.
I'll believe. What isn't there a Meatloaf song? It's all like, I'll believe anything, but I won't believe that.
What are you doing? You botched his most famous song. I will do anything for love.
But
I won't do that.
And then he hops on his motorcycle.
And then he believes in all sorts of nonsense. Yeah. And then he dies. It happens.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Not too long ago. He was a little goofy at the end. All right. What were we talking about? You're talking about right whales.
So this whole season hasn't done too many of the shtick where it's like, where am I going? And they're like, it's not where you're going, it's when you're going. They haven't gone to that well too much. So I can't even think of one.
Tasteful time travel.
Tasteful time travel.
Another one of the excellent lines I really liked was when Picard was talking to Guinan and he was referring to an event that happened many tomorrows ago.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great. That's wonderful language right there.
Or like memories of things yet to happen.
Yes, that was another great line.
Yeah.
Jurati.
Well, when he did when he was in the empty, the spooky house, the Chateau Saint Picard, which, oh, by the way, you were saying last episode you weren't sure where they crashed, right?
No. I was saying the opposite. I was saying that for some reason, some people on the internet were confused And you, in fact, you thought it was like outside of LA or something?
No, I thought it was at this fucking chateau.
Maybe Jesse thought it was outside of LA.
I thought it was a chateau.
I did, yeah. I didn't pick up on where they had landed.
You could see the chateau outside of it, and it only made sense because Picard needs to, he's time traveling. He doesn't want to disrupt the timeline. He knows for a fact that it is uninhabited at this time period.
Yeah, right.
Now, so it made sense to land there. He wasn't sure about anywhere else because he's not as familiar with
it. I thought it was you that said something different, so I was wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm upset that you've been walking around the earth thinking this.
When I was watching it, there was like a baby crying or something. So I didn't. What'd
you do to the baby?
I didn't catch all of it. I didn't do anything.
He fed the baby.
You gotta be careful with those babies.
What did you feed the baby to?
I two the bee. Did you ever play? I three the bee. I four the bee. I five the bee. I six the bee. I seven the bee. I eight the bee.
It's like MR ducks.
On a tangent, like they did the whole Star Trek zoomy thing, the Discovery zoomy thing. But it was, I really liked it on the whole chateau when they zoomed around
Picard
the whole thing.
This episode directed again by Leah Thompson.
Yo, yeah, it was. But like, so that was another awesome scale shot where it gave you a scale of the whole place with the vineyard and then how big the ship was. It's cool to see how big ships are in comparison to things that live on Earth. And it was made it seem,
next
gave
to
me
trees
better.
Trees and buildings.
Gave
and
me an awesome sense of scale. And I thought that was well done.
Gave me such a fucking awesome
nothing
sense
ever happens
of scale.
On Mars.
Nothing.
Such
an awesome sense of scale.
Scales all the time. Oh, but we were talking about cool lines. Like when they were in there, Jurati was like, "Where are you?" And then he's like, "Lost in the past. In more ways than one." In more ways than one.
In more ways than one, bloody. Pushing. Pushing galore.
Milk, chocolate.
Hot. Always lamented that I couldn't do a good, James Bond. What's his name?
Sean Connery. Well, I'm not trying to do a Sean Connery. I'm trying to do a Picard.
We named the dog Indiana. Yeah, I know, but you were doing a poor Picard, and it was veering into a Sean Connery. Yeah, so you started making me think. It was like, we named the dog Indiana.
Yeah, I know. That's why I started realizing that, too. She kept calling him Mr.
That's her gag with him.
Yeah, it is her
gag. That's one of her gags with him. She's sort of, in some way, she's playing the role of his gal Friday in the old film noir detective style novels that he likes, like the Dixon Hill,
and they had the Pallid Sun, which apparently is a Dixie Chicks book or something.
Yes, and they were all written by the original writer of the first episode that Dixon Hill was in.
I think she even mentioned Torme.
It was mentioned Dixon Hill novels from TNG,
and she calls him Dixon.
Yeah, and at the end when she's reading the Pallid Sun, which is a Dixon Hill novel, and that's something that was
and
it was mentioned in TNG. Dixon Hill novels were mentioned first in TNG.
Oh, absolutely.
So and so they were reading that, so there was another Easter egg right there. But do we know who that woman was?
We do, although we only do because of the
listening by proxy,
the sharp eyes and clever wits of some of our compatriots on the internet.
Oh, shit.
Nuh-uh.
Who use various skills and access to
tools.
Is it
7 of 9?
No, it's not 7 of 9. All right.
I didn't think
I'll quit
was.
Fooling around. I'll
is it someone else we know?
And, okay, look. If you just watch the episode as is, there's no reason for you to know who this person is.
Okay, so I don't have to feel bad.
So, but however, I'm trying to avoid, like, it's not a spoiler, but it's kind of a spoiler. But it's not a spoiler.
Well, if it's not out yet, then how is it a spoiler?
Well, because the information is technically in this episode. How about this? Let me set up how I know this information and how the people on the internet sussed out this information. You tell me whether or not you think this counts as a spoiler or not.
Potential spoiler alert.
Okay. I'll warn you before the spoiler. This person is sitting there reading this book. She comes, sits down. She works at the Europa mission headquarters for NASA.
And when Q snaps his fingers, even though she didn't realize it didn't work, she laughed and it made it seem like she was laughing at him. But
as
like
opposed to something in the book.
Yeah. They did that on purpose.
But she's reading this Dixon
Hill book. I'm really observant. I'm really smart sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Okay. I'll let you finish.
Sometimes. She's reading the book and what happens is if you are watching Picard on Amazon Prime, and I don't know if this is only on Amazon Prime where it's available in markets where Paramount Plus doesn't exist, Or if it also works, if you're watching on Amazon Prime,
are they doing that thing where
via the Paramount?
Because
app.
They did this with The Expanse, where apparently there's little bonus scenes.
It's not a bonus scene, but they do have that X-ray feature in Amazon Prime, which I've, which will show you if you look on your app.
I see, that's a spoiler.
It shows you all the actors in the thing and what parts they're playing.
Okay, that's a total spoiler because I've been had that happen when I was watching The Boys.
All right,
The Boys. What was the name of the superhero the superhero slash villain or whatever in The Boys?
Who had Jack Dawjaw?
The one with the dark suit, who never
Tuxedo Man,
the one who never talks,
Mime Man.
Yes, my man.
Mimeto.
In any case, there's a scene where you don't see him and someone's sneaking around and you're like, who's that sneaking around?
The Nutty Avenger.
And you're like, who's that sneaking around? And there's only one person in the scenes walking around. It's like, who is that?
And it said the character name.
Yeah, if you turn on the thing, it shows both the characters. Like, and so it's like, oh, I guess it's this guy, you know, because
that's funny.
Because it's meant to be a surprise, but then if you look on the credits, it'll show you. Okay, so yeah, that's a total spoiler.
So you think it's a spoiler? Yeah. Right, well, I can keep shut if you want me to keep shut.
Keep shut, Patrick.
Keep my mouth shut.
Well, I mean, you can look. If anyone wants to know now, then now they know what to look up on the internet. Then you want to find out. Let's make this podcast interactive.
Well,
interactive.
We can save it then. Save it as a mystery. Or if you want, just write us on Twitter and we'll.
I mean, if you want to talk about it, that's fine.
No, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
No.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
You know the Muffin
Man. I've heard of this Muffin Man and his. Drury Lane.
Damn.
Okay. So, all right. We'll keep that under wraps now. But for those who are interested, you can look if you want to preview what I presume we'll learn more about next week. I have to presume we'll learn more about next week.
Is it Captain Janeway?
No, but it is related to the plot line of this series. It's clearly related to the Europa mission. How's that? She was wearing
well,
a NASA jacket.
I can probably even figure it out then from here.
All right.
I think I might know who it is.
All right. Who do you think it is?
I promise
not to react.
No, that's the worst. I hate that. That's the worst. Because your response will be like, okay, and then I'm gonna be like, what? I got it right? He's like, no, I didn't say that. Oh, I got it wrong. I didn't say that either. And you'll smile and I'll laugh at me and I'll be like,
it seems this is more an issue on your end of things, which is fine. You have every right not to
deflecting this back.
No, I'm not deflecting. I'm saying you have every right not to play my little games. It's fine.
Okay, we
participation
we'll
is. Optional. Yes. Okay, so next discussion item then. We haven't talked much about Rios. It's a fairly small section of this episode, but also one of the quote-unquote weekly controversies where like every week there has to be at least one. This week there are two controversies, two discussions going on.
Maybe some people didn't like a certain sort of depiction of
people didn't
a there, government th- agency.
There were some people who there's a spectrum of folks who didn't like the portrayal of the ICE agents.
Oh man, okay, so that dude, he was a serious asshole, and like I knew that they were trying to go for this, but I was getting so mad, and I was like, oh, I hope he gets his in the end.
I
hope that ICE guy gets his in the end.
That's what they want you to feel.
I know, that's exactly what they want. I'm being manipulated, yeah. but it worked. I'm like, oh, that guy.
Of course, everyone, you know, everyone's coming from different perspectives on things. However, I honestly would argue from my familiarity with the system, that this was a benign this is a benign representation, at least in some cases. There is some horrible stuff that goes on in the ICE system, partly because there's very little oversight, the nature of the people that they're dealing with and often abuse in very serious ways is that those people aren't in a system, those people don't have support groups, people are not calling and saying, hey, my friend's missing, you know, so there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on, and it's not a quote-unquote political thing, it's just sort of, it's an unfortunate reality that Star Trek is commenting upon.
It sucks the idea of like, If your friend has gone missing and someone might be scared to ask where they went because they don't want attention drawn to themselves.
They don't want
to
go missing as well.
Yeah. So.
Or they don't have enough connections yet in the country.
And like they're having to sign forms and stuff when they don't know what they're signing and
precisely
like that.
All sorts of things. You know, it's out of scope for what we normally talk about on this generally lighthearted podcast. But Star Trek does deal with heavy issues, and this is one of those serious heavy issues.
Sometimes it's very serious.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Everybody stop laughing.
But what the frustration, the meta frustration, even though this is nothing new, we're old people at this stage. We've been watching Star Trek since the 1980s. Jesus.
Our bodies are starting to turn into old people bodies.
Oh, I know. Every day, man.
This was stuff that went on back then as well. But the pushback against any time Star Trek is making a more, what quote unquote, moralizing point is always somewhat perplexing to me because of the fact that so much of Star Trek is not only moralizing, it's really fucking on the nose a lot of times. Sometimes it's more subtle, sometimes it's fucking right on the nose, and sometimes it uses metaphors, and sometimes it uses just actual real life events, like what's going on here, or the whales being extinct, etc. That's not a metaphor. That's just the environment sucks. Fix it.
I think it was the first or second episode when I mentioned about how I was joking. I was half joking.
Wait. You were joking.
No, I was mentioning. I was half joking. Yes. Yes.
Stop joking, Lee.
I didn't get that.
Joke people are only going to get if they watch Where No Man Has Gone Before.
I didn't get it.
Watch the TOS episode Where No Man Has Gone Before. Then listen to episode number one of our podcast.
I was half joking, saying people are going to see Picard as terrorist pro-immigration propaganda, because they were, they're killing off the Romulans, they're killing off the Klingons, mm-hmm. they're killing off all the species. And then this, of course, comes back, they bring it back to ICE now, which is, it's the same thing that's going on in the future, I guess. And so maybe there's a strong implication that this is where stuff like that.
Yeah. The message of this season is one message is anti-xenophobia, which is not a new message in Star Trek. And by the way, I don't always agree with some of the Star Trek moralizing. They haven't always gotten it right. There was some 1980s TNG anti-drug stuff that's ridiculous, right? And some stuff they've done that was well-intentioned maybe, but failed the fucking test.
Only a drug user would say that.
No, some people, Penn Jillette is not a drug user, and he would say the same thing.
I'm just being stupid. I guess I'm just being stupid. Snake leaf, yeah.
We've all had too much snake leaf.
I want to see the comeback of the snake leaf.
Yeah, I do too, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of annoyed that Raffi was associated with, snake leaf is a bad thing. Snake leaf should be an awesome thing, as long as you don't overdo it.
Don't overdo the snake leaf.
And you take care of the things in your life.
Do you think this
Raffi's problem isn't the snake leaf, it's all the other problems.
It's yelling at Picard when it's not his fault.
I know. She really likes to do that. Jesus.
So this ICE officer, I wonder, is he going to get his, or is the end result going to be they're going to get the timeline back? Like, what happens to Luna? Who's Uncle Dale? Was Uncle Dale some guy who took Luna in? Was he some guy who answered an ad in the paper?
Is Luna really a dog?
No, he was treating Guinan with familiary. And as for the ISIS,
do we ever find out what's going to happen with Luna? I guess presumably Luna's okay, but it's still kind of
sure Luna.
I want Guinan and Luna to make a reunion. You know,
maybe at the end.
Luna really a dog, or is Luna a different kind of being?
It's like a Romulan.
But it goes back to that assignment Earth, because Gary Seven has his magic cat Isis. That's why I just said Isis. I was thinking about Isis.
Yeah. But ICE officer, he's got to get his at some point.
He'll get his, and it'll be some clever thing where Seven of Nine is
get defunded, hopefully.
Holding him, and then he gets kicked in the belly. Or maybe Rios gets to shock him with his own taser.
When Rios is talking about he's just a good Samaritan wandering through it, maybe think Rios is like some kind of cowboy or a charro. A charro.
A caballero.
Rios?
A charro. Charro.
I'm not familiar with the term.
It's like a cowboy.
Okay, well, there you go. He's handsome and rugged and
he's just
honorable.
Meaning like he wanders through town. Like you said, I'm just a good Samaritan wandering around.
He's just a charming fella. All right, let's take another quick break. And when we get back.
Real quick, a charro, I think
You looked up charro and not churro, correct?
I thought charro meant like...
Charo's that lady that was all like Gucci.
Yeah. No, I'm wondering. I need to find. Okay, well, on break, I'm going to find the Spanish to English translation because I know what it's used to represent, like a cowboy like character, but
okay,
I want to know what the actual word is. Right.
we'll be right back with the answer to the age old question.
Hold on to your hat.
What is the English?
Hold on to your sombrero.
The English translation of charo. Mm-hmm. Be right back. All right, we're back. Dan, do we have the answer?
It just means Mexican horseman or cowboy.
Okay, so you were right.
I thought it was like one of those double meaning things where it actually means something else.
Yeah,
like,
but it might. It
and
might.
I'm trying to find the other meaning, and it won't just keep telling me.
We're doing a podcast here.
What is that supposed to mean?
We're doing a podcast, and you're getting all wrapped up in this charo business.
It's
and you're
a
already,
shortening of, you've
demonstrated you're
Chevalier.
Correct.
No, but I know. I just thought that it had a second meaning.
It probably does. Write in at feedback@scottstartrek.com if charo has a separate meaning in line with whatever stuff Dan's talking about. About some sort of a
like
clever...
Caballo.
What is it I said once something and somebody questioned my definition of that thing that I said? That was like way back in the first 20 episodes. Didn't I say like something meant something and that person from that country said, well, actually, it means this. I gotta do some research.
Familiar. Yeah.
Somebody said that I got something wrong, basically.
Did we mention it on the podcast?
The internet is full of gotcha people.
I went on the internet and looked
gotcha.
Up...
That's gotcha journalism.
I went on the internet and looked up a definition of something and somebody else was like, well, actually, I'm from that country and we don't actually use it like the internet says it's to be used.
How was that resolved? Were they correct? Or
that's fair.
I think,
or were they a troll lying to us?
I don't think they were a troll. I think they were.
Or was it something regional? I think some peculiarity of their particular region.
What's it called
it's
when
like,
somebody
we don't dip bread in olive oil? We dip it in this.
It was right, but it was a little like you know what's
we
a,
dip our bread in piles of dirty old
what's,
shit.
What's the
mayonnaise?
Term, what's mayonnaise? What's the term for people you know go on the internet and they decide to be like, well, actually, you know,
pedants,
dweebs,
is pedant. Pedantry?
Yeah, somebody's being pedantic.
Pedantic, yeah. It's just kind of like, yeah, okay, you're right, but
peculiar
I'm not
and
exactly,
pedantic.
I'm not totally wrong. You're. It's when they're saying something not to help you, but make it seem like they're on a smarter level than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I get aggravated by people who are overly pedantic, but I also, at a certain level, I try to have some small amount of sympathy and patience with them because I think it's sort of like a molting stage for young intellectuals. I think you have to go through a phase where you
before you get to a butterfly,
where you practice
butterfly.
Pointing
butterfly.
Out mistakes, so you're kind of pointing them out to yourself at the same time, and then you do that until somebody fucking smacks you upside the head.
Is this what happened to you?
Physically or digitally? Yeah, of course. I think it happened to you as well. Maybe
it happens,
not. Maybe not yet. Maybe you still need to be smacked up
oh,
the digital
man,
head.
I haven't molted yet. The digital
and,
head.
And then you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe I don't need to point out all this shit because I'm not helping.
Yeah.
I'm still a caterpillar.
The point has been the point has been communicated. The minor inconsistencies in the syntax, placement of commas, etc., has not impacted the communication of the thought. So I'm being an asshole if I make a big deal about it.
Basically.
All right. So, Rios, we talked about, anything else in Sevener and Raffi? I thought, you know, it was fun. It was kind of just like move the plot to the next section.
A classic car, kind of
thing.
Car chase action.
Filled with some clever humor lines.
Humor. I like when humor is something that we love to talk about.
You like that? all right. Well, if there's nothing else on Seven and Raffi, what about Jurati and the Borg Queen?
So
and their little, or Jurati and Picard, for that matter.
Well, Jurati, as we remember from season one, was a murderer. And this season,
cold blooded.
And they explained it this season. Well, she was actually deemed to have been possessed by alien power forces.
Well, the Romulans were making her murder.
Right. So, and one way you could look at that,
the like Oshkosh Bagosh or whoever they were.
One way you could look at that.
Is that Vash?
Yes.
Yeah. The Oshkosh Bagosh.
I was being silly.
You were being silly.
I knew it was. So, it was the other thing.
The You could look at that and
come up a lot.
You could look at that cynically and say, like, oh, they just did that because they decided to change their mind about her character. And now they're trying to, you know, retcon it, explain it away, and that she got possessed when actually, you know, it's bullshit. But they didn't run away from, they don't seem to be running away from that idea. They seem to be leaning into that one too. Speaking of leaning into ideas, because Jurati seems like she's going to be a murderer again or something. Something's going to happen with her and that Borg and BQ. Her and BQ, like, they melded and they became a part of each other, and now there's going to be this battle. There already has been a battle between Jurati and BQ. BQ helped her, and then Jurati's like, I'm shutting you down again.
Do you think Jurati will kick the Borg Queen's ass?
No, I think the Borg Queen will take over.
Borg Queen doesn't have an ass.
Then why'd you ask the question?
Metaphorically.
It's the question, Neo.
Metaphorically.
Why'd you ask the question? So, do you think at some point, Jurati will get... mind controlled by an alien again, basically, and do some sketchy shit. Maybe this time she'll resist it.
I think
it's
resistance is futile.
That's the problem. You made some weird noises.
If you ask me,
I didn't ask you,
which you didn't, but I'm offering the opinion.
Nobody said you did.
As part of one of the functions of my role on this podcast is to volunteer these sorts of thoughts, mm-hmm. these sorts of opinions, these sorts of ruminations on the plot of the story so far and where it might go in the future. If you ask me, I think that this is probably a red herring in that they're taking our, as you said, Dan, the previous knowledge of Jurati, they're accentuating that. They're talking all about her being lonely and this and that. And the Borg Queen keeps trying to manipulate her.
They've talked about her lonely from the beginning with Spot 73 and some other shit.
I think that it's a red herring that's making us think that what we're supposed to think is that she's at risk of being tricked by the Borg Queen into either reassimilating and rejoining or whatever like that. I think the ultimate resolution is actually going to be that we're meant to think that, but it's a trick that Jurati's actually going to beat the Borg Queen in the end because mm-hmm. she never for a moment fell for her business.
Do you think there's going
to
be
wrong? They could go the whole more dramatic angle, but I think you still get the drama, but can retain Jurati's agency by having her be at the end. Like, she's
Daystrom Institute.
That she ends up controlling the Borg Queen.
But do you think there'll be at least a point where it looks like Jurati's being turned, or do you think they're just not even going to approach that whole thing?
No, I think they will to make us think that, but then in the end, it's going to be like Jurati's like, this Borg Queen out, no problem. I'm just gonna go right in there and I'm gonna puppet her like a horrible puppet person.
I like her
because she's already half a puppet anyway. You just stick your hand right up in there. It's what? Puppet.
Oh, you're talking about the Borg Queen. But that's even still fucked up.
That's
still fucked up with Jurati.
Jurati's a bit weird.
Yeah, the Borg Queen, her voice keeps reminding me of a mix between Jurati and Seven of Nine.
Well, it seems like after they sort of melded a little bit, that she started taking on Jurati's mannerisms.
She's got some evil smile. Yeah, she did. She started. Yeah, they. She took on little bit.
The way she like kind of grinned and stuff.
Yeah,
the way you make me
grin. I like Allison Pill and Jurati's character more and more. I think as the season
really went. Enjoying it.
She was in Scott Pilgrim.
Yes,
movie,
versus say, the world.
Versus the world. She was in the movie. I think she was in the movie Goon with. Stifler, who's not Sean Astin Green.
Sean Michael Scott.
Goon was actually, the first one was pretty decent. That was actually a pretty good movie. I was surprised.
I think she's great. Her interactions with Picard, which we touched briefly on before, I thought were also very good. It's kind of interesting they did that whole 15 thing, because it's almost like Data in Cause and Effect, where he's thinking 3 all the time. It mimics that in some way, that her brain just sort of subconsciously wants her to think of the number 15.
Right.
Which they then associate with the date April 15th, which is
like some it's like some Stephen King shit.
Right. So this is the thing about the plot, and this is the one thing that I'm not necessarily against. I'm not for or against this. It just kind of is. Jurati, who her whole interaction with BQ to begin with was
BQ.
He's making me think of DQ. Dairy Queen.
I want to get a blizzard.
Which in the United States.
It's called a blizzard there.
A Butterfinger blizzard.
Sort of an ice cream shop.
Butterfinger BBs.
Mm-hmm. Sort of. It's not really ice cream, I guess. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to derail
was it like, then they got a Dunkin' Donuts or DQ in California or something and everyone lost their mind? I think they got Dunkin' Donuts out in California and everyone just was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
What did they have before?
They had like fancy places. It's California. They got all sorts of shit. Why they give a shit about a fucking Dunkin' Donuts? Anyway.
I know. Right.
So this whole
Krispy Kreme,
the whole interaction, the relationship that kicked off Jurati and BQ's relationship, the whole interaction there, that was vague to begin with, right? And it's okay. It's kind of vague. They're talking in metaphors and weirdness. It's like, oh, she's in the sad room now. Oh no, I don't like the sad room. Oh, you know, I'm talking weird and subconscious and all this crazy shit, right? So that was already vague.
Jurati's just complicated, and, like everybody.
Well, yeah, but it's set up such that the plot basically moves forward because she randomly remembers bits of information from her time in BQ's brain. So it's being doled out arbitrarily. Plot movement every episode is just kind of like, oh, don't worry about that now, think about that later. And then at some point in the episode she's like, I just remembered something. I just remembered something. And that's kind of like the coal for the plot is her remember. And what happened in this episode was the whole 15 thing. Like they decided that 15
they're
was
shoveling
the thing.
Coal.
Yeah. And they just decided the Abacus, Britannica, Pinot Noir.
Now, is your opinion that the quality of this will depend on how often they stretch that out? Because really the 15 thing is the first pure memory thing. The previous one was we actually stole this information right then, and then she gave the coordinates, right?
Okay, how is there like some wine from 1915 hanging around? Like
the Nazis didn't get to it.
Like the Nazis didn't get to it. The Americans didn't get to it.
That's a good point.
Like
at least some kind of kids would get to it.
Yeah.
Although it is in France, and I think they don't do that in France. And if this was in the US, they would.
Yeah, but it would like.
Well, it's just because they got so many.
World War
II. They don't need to steal
they got so much wine.
Is it like how in the US, like nobody steals Twinkies? Because there's so many Twinkies
around. I've
never
even thought about stealing Twinkies.
You don't even think because you find them on the street.
In the United States, for those of you who haven't been here, you basically don't go more than like two arms lengths before you have a Twinkie.
It's true.
It's in the gutter. It's
just floating along with the
if
rats.
If you ever want to know what,
but it's packaged.
If you ever
so
want to know, if you ever want to know
at a fire station.
If you ever want to know what Americans eat all day, just go to the American section in your grocery store. We eat that all day. Marshmallow fluff all day long.
Straight out of the tub.
Yep.
Grilled cheese sandwiches.
Big old soup spoon.
That's how we live. We live on that.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Peanut butter.
And hence why 2024 Los Angeles looks so bleak.
So you're all right. You're all right. All right. You're correct. Your question was... Okay. So if this... I have yet to decide how I feel about this way of plot moving forward because it feels a little arbitrary. It just feels like, oh, she just remembered this thing. And it's like kind of up to the writers to decide, okay, now we get to move the plot forward in this way. They're just deciding where it sort of happens. Now, they could work it into...
It's a form of Deus Ex Machina.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Which is,
the God and the Machine.
Right. That whole thing. So... But that's the word I was looking for. I'm sorry, I got distracted with the word MacGuffin because it's not a MacGuffin. But the MacGuffin does the Deus Ex Machina thing.
No, they can be separate. A MacGuffin is...
It's just the thing that it's the mystery box.
Yes, but the solution doesn't have to be a Deus Ex
Red
Machina
bopper.
And a MacGuffin story.
Red Bopper, okay. That's a MacGuffin.
Red Bopper for sure.
The MacGuffin can be a 100% legitimate thing.
Red
Bopper is
the key to the future. Yeah. So now if they present this in such a way that it was a cohesive mystery, because it is kind of a mystery, like she keeps remembering stuff. She's like, what else does she remember? What else is going to come out of that brain of hers? So it could work. And then, honestly, it's a small nitpick I have because I really enjoy the show. But it does sometimes the plot's like, okay, here's where they're kind of deciding to tell us that the plot's moving forward.
We also honestly have to wait and see if she's even interpreted it correctly. Maybe the 15th comes around and nothing happens. Probably it does, but maybe not. Maybe it turns out it's 15... It's Europa Mission 15.
It just feels a little invented. And I know stories are invented by definition, but...
I understand
it's
what you mean.
It's numerology, man.
Yes.
It's numerology.
666.
Dangerous, magical thing.
Doesn't 666 not mean 666 or something?
It means
nothing.
Yeah, I think
it
is. It means nothing.
That's right.
Means nothing.
Okay.
But it was cool. Girardi's cool. That was cool.
this is a cool show, man.
15, they probably won't approach the 15 thing again, although I would think they're probably just going to drop that whole.
Probably. We'll
see. Because that's the thing, is it just came, moved the plot forward, now it's gone.
Well, how about we talk about the other controversy this week?
Uh-oh.
The less contentious controversy. Well, maybe not contentious. Maybe it's just the less... we'll get into it. And you make your own decision about what adjective to apply to it, which is the question some people had about why Guinan didn't recognize Picard, having presumably met him due to the events of the
you
Times era. I said due to the events of Times Arrow. Parts 1 and 2, in which Captain Picard has occasion to travel back to the late 1800s and meet up with Guinan
during
that time period. However, while watching the episode the first time, my assumption was that this she didn't recognize him because that never happened, because her future is right now the Confederation future, yeah. In which case that whole thing with the events that, you know, take place in Time Zero didn't occur. Mm. So why should Picard would not have gone back in time to meet her in the 1800s, so she wouldn't know him.
Yeah, I had a similar thought that basically this is, you know, this is a different, this could be a different universe. Yeah.
It's confusing timeline, because we are supposedly going to prevent an event. Like the goal is that something's going to happen that if it happens, the Confederation happens instead of the Federation. Right. So we're thinking about like we change something now and it'll fix the future.
Well,
but the future also in this Star Trek context affects the past. And so if that future you want doesn't happen, then that past also doesn't happen. Because of the time travel, you get what I'm saying?
Kind of.
Or even Star Trek is, you know, totally fiction, but like that, Star Trek could be like a different, Star Trek doesn't have to be our universe. It could be, it's an alternate universe.
I mean, it isn't.
And this could be like our, they're going back to our timeline.
But
they've also done it a million different ways.
But Star Trek is an alternate future, alternate universe. Jesus Christ.
It's okay.
Oh my God, my brain. Star Trek is an alternate universe because they don't have Star Trek in Star Trek. It's like in zombie movies.
In zombie movies,
they never call them zombies. Because
in this episode, somebody did a screen grab and noted that in Guinan's bar, she has some t-shirts up on the wall or sort of framed t-shirts or pictures or something. One of them is clearly an image from a t-shirt that's a Next Generation t-shirt that has Guinan and Picard on it. It's like at the Enterprise D and Guinan and Picard, all like 80, like, you know, you early see, 90s, yeah, like, 80s graphics, 90s graphics.
That, they awesome. Go back to our universe.
But they do, right. The point is we don't need to get that much more complicated. I understand that it is definitely a confusing thing.
Well,
but and it's more confusing because Star Trek handles time travel in multiple different ways.
Right. So what you were saying about the time travel thing,
it's plot style time travel.
When you were talking about changing the course of the future, that was like a Back to the Future Part 2 way to approach it, because Guinan says to Picard, she's like, okay, so one future is good but another one's bad, and I'm thinking, well, not according to Back to the Future 2. According to Back to the Future 2, there is only one future, and once you go back and change the time, you go to the different timeline. Of course, one of the overarching messages of Back to the Future was future can be anything you want it to be, so there is no such thing as one.
Oh, I thought it was like, don't get riled up if somebody calls you a chicken.
Yeah, but that didn't happen until the second one. And I thought that happened in the first one for the longest time because I was so young when I saw it.
And of course, they changed actresses as well.
Yeah, that confused me. See, that didn't help.
Elizabeth
So anyways, in this Star Trek, the way they're handling time travel is not that they're going to go back.
It's okay that we mentioned Back to the Future because Leah Thompson directed this episode.
Yeah, that's why. It's a good point. In this one, apparently there's two different futures. Now we could be becoming, what's the word when you talk about words too much? Semantics? Is it semantics? We could be getting bogged down in semantics,
yes.
but it seems like they're approaching more of it as like there's many futures.
And plus the showrunner stated outright that that's what was the intention. Mm. They clearly know that Guinan had met Picard in the past, so if they didn't want to have that happen, if they did want to have her recognize him, they could have. They can write this however the fuck they want. It doesn't seem like it was hugely important that she didn't recognize him. Yeah.
I mean, once he says he's Picard, she's like, Picard, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there's something. Yeah. Some sort of recognition.
And that's where it gets to that whole...
She knows something.
She's talking about the whole supervisor thing, and that gets us back to the Assignment Earth, Gary Seven-style action. And, of course, the grand surprise being that this appears to be Laris. So now what do we think of that?
Is Laris been like this the whole time?
And she's always been watching over Picard.
Right. Now when she wanted to get romantical with him, did she really want to get romantical, or was she just, is she a watcher that fell in love?
It could be that she's a watcher that fell in love.
So who were those possessed people?
She went from watcher to
behold. Maybe she just falls in love with the one human every now and then.
Maybe that's the whole watcher deal, is they have to mate with the person on that they're watching.
Upon whom they are.
Do you think somebody watches them watch it?
Placing their eyeballs?
She watches them watch it. What are you talking about, eyeballs?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
So when who was possessing those people? Like, Picard's lucky that
Laris at the end, I think, is the real thing.
So is she the one that's put, but
yes,
she
she's controlling the other robot people.
So Picard is lucky that no one thought he was
a child molester.
Yes, yes. Number one. Number two, how come it happened with a few people and none of them were like, what the fuck just happened? They were just like, huh? And then they walked off.
You can just argue that's part of the process. It works that way.
Just works that way.
Maybe that's where she hangs out.
It is California. I think Jesse's right. It's California.
Oh, by the way, butterfly alert. Butterfly alert. Did you catch the butterfly alert since we're tracking butterflies in every episode?
I didn't, but you did.
Oh, I did.
You shared it with us.
I forgot. I shared it with you. Yeah. That little girl's dress was covered in butterflies.
Yeah.
A butterfly pattern. So keep it up. And if you're not familiar with what we're talking about,
get the net, dude.
No, just listen to the podcast. Don't start with this episode. Start with the first episode from the season.
What
and
the fuck is
along.
Wrong with you? And if you think it's too much to fucking do, if you think it's overwhelming, start from the episode one of our entire podcast from the beginning and catch up and don't let that overwhelm you.
Yeah. Yeah. And enjoy the evolution of the quality of the program.
Hmm. I hope it's been going in a positive direction.
Which direction?
A big pot of tea.
We cannot say.
Settle back.
Did you say potty?
A pot of tea.
Oh, potty. I thought you said a potty. Settle back on a pot with a potty.
Well, if that, yeah, sit on the potty.
With Jurati.
Listen to the podcast.
You want to sit on the potty with Jurati?
It's a podcast.
Okay, so.
Picard looked so mad at Guinan when she revealed that she had her communicator, his communicator. Do you see it? She's like, oh, I have this of yours. It beeped a couple of times and she handed it to Picard. That was like at the scene before all the people got possessed. You remember? I remember.
Picard
looks so pissed off. He's like, "Oh, mother."
What is that like funny like man-made puddle there?
I don't think he looked pissed off. I think he looked like frustrated with himself that he hadn't noticed that it was gone or something.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So one important thing to discuss about that end scene, since we're not going to discuss who the person was,
because only Patrick knows.
I think I know.
Oh,
who
you
it
know
is.
Now.
I
think I know. Now you think is. You know.
All right.
I think I know.
Look out!
But Q is sitting there. He's doing his little monologue, and then does the snap, and the snap doesn't work.
I'm worried about that guy.
I know.
Could you imagine if you were a stranger walking up behind him as he's sitting there, just kind of talking to himself, some weird creepy shit?
That's fucking Q.
It's like, dude, what's going on with you, man? You're sitting here like talking in riddles, like by yourself. What the fuck are you doing?
I know.
So he's previously acted a little odd. In the starting the first episode, right? And second episode, I guess, is where we really see him freak out a little bit on Picard. So there's something going on. Picard has commented on it. We've seen it just in the acting, the portrayal of John DeLancey. And now we see that there's something wrong, physically wrong, or whatever the appropriate term is for a Q. So
what is the non-offensive term
for is he a non-corporeally wrong, nothing physically wrong, non-corporeally wrong?
How do you describe a Q that has that?
Although he is corporeal, he can make himself corporeal.
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 Like, I mean,
having a corpus.
There's not corpus a lot of Christine. Q other than like when Q is messing with Picard, like. You know, they mention the Q in Discovery, like when they're in the future.
Voyager has a few episodes.
Oh, yes, right. Voyager, too. But, like, there isn't, like...
That one Deep Space Nine episode.
In the future, they say, you know, there just isn't much connection with the Q. Continuum.
Well, I was going to mention that in Discovery, they talk about... There's this comment about how, basically, the Q stopped contacting... At least as far as the Federation
like
knows,
700 years
from like the year 2500 or something.
Right.
So who knows? I don't know. Maybe the Q are dying.
Dying.
It's like
dying.
They were only into like Picard and Janeway.
Maybe they got a ghost to some other galaxy or something. Who knows?
It was the Q kid that got into Seven of Nine.
So anything else? Any odds and ends? Otherwise, I think.
I don't know. There's been a lot of odds and so many ends.
Well,
we covered most things. The butterfly
got it all.
I'm curious why they were saying communicate. Raffi was saying the communicators don't work long range in the 21st century. She's like, we already know that communicators don't work.
Because they didn't work when they tested them. Because
of the pollution.
No, it's because Jurati talks about it, that there's no relays, right? They don't have relay satellites for their communication. Yeah. But in the interim,
they just have those lame like cell phone towers.
Yeah, she's able to figure something out. That Picard is like, "Oh, figure something out." So she's like,
"Some of them are like disguised as trees."
Mm.
You ever see those things that are supposed to look like trees?
Yeah, they're hilarious.
These, like, funny, like
some of them are really hilarious.
Funny, like tree socks on them.
I did want to point out that Jurati was saying they had to hit brakes on their car because she said that the transporters can't handle moving targets. But wasn't it Discovery where?
She said in their it was damaged. The transporters weren't fixed enough to do it. She said yet.
Oh, okay. Because I think it was Discovery where someone, they're fighting Klingons and someone fell off of a bridge or something, and then they warped, they transported while they were...
Oh, they've done that. I think that was in Star Trek 6 maybe.
Okay, so they were just broken.
That's happened before.
Yeah. I thought the betrayal is just an anagram for believe me. That was a weird... It was weird. I don't know what they... I don't know what they were going for with that.
It was like the... BG has a BQ has
me,
a
BG. The it's big just green.
Like it's like oh
the BQ has an interesting sense of humor.
Yeah, and she's like it's like oh use the liberty of poetry on the it's definition poetry. Of the word Come anagram. On. It's like it's not an anagram.
No, like, it's
and then
it's,
but she was trying to say be more artful and pretend it. I don't know. Yeah, yeah I didn't get it.
It was a little bit weird.
She was pulling it out of her non-existent ass.
I thought the ICE officer, he looked like a cross between Kevin Spacey and Agent Smith.
And which one? Because there were two different ICE officers, I think.
The biggest asshole.
There was the super mean one, and then there was the kind of more quiet guy.
I was talking about the mean one who zapped Cristobal, and the one who was also on the jail bus. Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was like Kevin Spacey and Agent Smith.
I hate that
mixed
guy.
Together.
I hate
yeah.
it.
BQ was talking... Jurati needed her help because she said that BQ can think faster than she can type. And if I was going to say BQ didn't make it, they should have gotten Super Smart Barkley.
Everybody can think faster than
just called up Super Smart Barkley.
Call up Super Smart Barkley and
Super Smart Barkley isn't super smart anymore. Smart
Who do you think would win in a mind fight, Super Smart Barkley or a BQ?
BQ.
You think BQ would beat Super Smart Barkley?
Kind of.
What about Locutus?
Would hope so.
Locutus.
Yeah.
He was just too sexy.
I continue to enjoy the sort of 80s style techno grunge synth that is like this.
Yeah, I'm always into that.
Yeah, they used some similar stuff in the last season, but this season it seems to be like more regular use of it, especially in some of the bass lines. And again, I keep coming back to the whole Picard opening theme, which is growing on me. It's starting to have more of an emotional effect on me. However, weirdly, it's only, first of all, what you were just singing was not the Picard theme.
That's Picard theme. That's how it goes.
No, it doesn't. You're a proper musician. You know that's not the right
thing. Yeah,
right
it is. No. What am I singing then?
It's kind of James Bond.
Yeah. No, it goes like, that's what the strings go. They go.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yes, they do that. That's I said doo doo.
That's they do do.
What does it sound like then? Tell me. What does it sound like?
I wouldn't venture to guess. I wouldn't venture to guess. Okay. But what I was going to say was that it's peculiarly. I've commented how it doesn't sort of affect me emotionally as much as some of the other Star Trek themes do. But it is starting to do so, but I only seem to notice it when I'm wearing headphones. Because when I'm wearing headphones, I hear all like the super deep, there's so many layers to the song and
that's
all these little things going on in it.
That zappy synth music, really listen to headphones.
Yes,
with
the headphones you notice it on the TV with a very good sound system on the TV, you don't get all the nuances.
Oh, he just bragged about his sound system.
Spectrum of frequencies.
Some video games are like you should wear headphones while you play this game and stuff
because of the spatials.
Yeah, because of the spacey stuff. Zaps. I love zap music. Yeah. On Netflix recently, there's the Steven Soderbergh movie Contagion. Was on Netflix recently, and the movie's fine. It's entertaining enough. But what was really stands
out? This has been brief movie reviews by Dan.
But what really stands out is
not the, brief enough.
Is the God damn it. That was fucked up. Damn, Jesse. As relates to what we were saying, I'm just saying because the soundtrack stands out because it's a bunch of zappy synth techno, and it totally feels weird and out of place in the movie, but at the same time, it somehow fucking works. And then, so when Picard does that zappy shit, like, I'm into it, man. I'm into it in a big way. You know what I'm saying? Just talking about zappy synth music. I'm with you, Patrick. I'm agreeing with you.
Word up.
Guinan had some serious guns, man.
She did.
Yeah, she did. That? Yeah, she did.
Guinan is ripped, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Guinan. Do you think Whoopi Goldberg is not going to be any more episodes?
Oh, I mean, probably. Maybe, I'm sure when it wraps up at the end, she'll be in the denouement.
Yeah.
Of the,
when they get back.
Of the story.
Gets back to normal. I'm sure it'll be great in the movie.
Another example of them leaning into things. Did you know when they said the systems in the 21st century are linked when Jurati, because they were talking about how the ICE, the immigration information wasn't, the LAPD didn't have the immigration information. So they went and they broke into that police car and Raffi was like looking it up. And then Seven was like, they already said that the LAPD is not going to have the immigration stuff in their system. She's like, yes, but in the 21st century, all systems are linked. This is an explanation as to why they have 10 different pads instead of one tablet with an internet connection, because they don't have internet in the future, not because they didn't think of it. It's because for some reason in the 21st century, all the systems are linked, and they forewent that. Is that the past tense?
Forewent.
What's the past tense of forego? Forewent?
Sure, it sounds good enough to me.
And so in the future, they forego all of internet on purpose. There's a decision that happens. Maybe that's what happens in 2024, is they get rid of the internet. Maybe it's the internet is the reason. No, that's definitely not it. But anyway, so that was
a wild ride.
Yeah, just saying, because that's why they're just because we always talk about it has nothing to do with the fact that they couldn't predict the invention of the internet decades ago. That's not why they didn't have internet in TNG and original Star Trek and all that stuff. It's not because they didn't think of it. The internet. No, they said in the 21st century, they had linked systems. They got rid of linked systems, so they got rid of the internet at some point. You see what I'm saying? They got rid of the internet.
Did you just say the same thing you just said like a short while ago?
Yes, I did. But you guys are looking at me like I'm dumb and crazy at the same time.
I think it was more confusion because we have faith in you to be talking about something clever that we're just not quite getting. And that you'll explain it to us, but then the creeping confusion as you appeared to be saying precisely the same thing over again.
But it's because, okay. Because it sounded like you didn't get what I was saying, so I was trying to say it a different way.
They didn't need it anymore.
And I wasn't successful.
They got rid of it.
You tried to say it essentially the same way and a little bit louder.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Okay. All right. Why don't we close things?
See, that's what I'm meaning. Like, okay, you just didn't think that I was making a good point.
No, I was. I will admit it's late, and I was a little confused. And the second go around didn't help. But I'm sure our listeners have benefited from hearing that.
Oh my god!
I'm positive. I'm 100% positive.
See, that's why I repeated myself, because I can tell. I can tell. Yeah, no, I can just, tell. Okay, I can tell when you guys are doing.
The more you repeat it, the it cuts down on how much he gets to edit out.
Because they have all the pads in the future instead of one pad with an internet connection. No,
please, we have to. Okay,
all right.
Please.
The people have other podcasts to listen to in their playlist. But I'm happy to report that next week, season two, we're going to be discussing Picard season two, episode 5. And I'm so happy to report that we know what it's called. It's called Fly Me to the Moon. They've released a few episode names ahead of time. It's fantastic. I'm loving it. So next week, tune in for episode 5. It'll be episode 126 or I don't know how much episode.
Don't ask me.
I think this
I won't
is
tell you.
126.
This is one. No, this is 124. It'll be 125 of the podcast. It'll be episode 5 of season 2 of Picard. Ooh. Fly Me to the Moon. We will be discussing that next week.
Fly it.
In the meantime, please go to Twitter.
Have you ever seen an elephant fly?
At It's Got Star Trek.
Yeah, once.
Go to Instagram.
Did you ever see a man throw away his shoes? She had just once. That was a Simpsons. Mr. Scorpio.
You can subscribe to us on YouTube. You can
or maybe
subscribe
it was a jacket.
To us
maybe it was his jacket he threw away.
In all
know.
Of the major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts. That's a good one.
I think it was his shoes.
There's Google Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Do a review
Spotify.
On Apple Do a review on Apple Podcasts.
You can rate and review. And that would be great.
Make sure you just subscribe, but hit down, thumbs down. Don't like, just subscribe. Or just like and don't subscribe, but don't do both.
You can do whatever you feel is necessary, but definitely subscribe.
Whatever you do, don't do that.
Just take it easy, man.
And you can go to our website
whatever you
at www.itsgotstartrek.com, where in addition to being able to listen to the podcast, you may also sort by series.
It's a very useful feature.
Sort the podcast episodes by series. So if you just want to listen to our scattered views on TNG, well, click on that. Click
you
on
can
that
say
button.
Like, hey guys, why don't you talk about this episode?
Yeah.
And be like,
and
oh.
You yeah. can always,
we're
if you're
not
more,
talking about Inner Light yet.
If you're more no. traditional folks, you can write in at feedback@discussstartrek.com.
They call those folks trad folks.
What?
Traditional trad. That's the cool way to say it.
Okay.
I say trod.
That's because you're too cool.
You can write us emails with subject lines and clever quotes in your signature and all that. Whatever you're into, cool. We quite welcome emails as well with comments, questions, suggestions, recommendations. All sorts of things are acceptable here at the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
As if this is a place.
It's a digital space. Sort of.
Is it?
It's a state of
being. It is. Carved out some sort of metaphysical space in people's minds.
It is esoteric. We go here every week. We visit this place.
People who have listened to who don't even particularly enjoy it, there's still an impact on their lives. Right? To some degree or another.
They keep coming back, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, some of them do. Like, oh, wait, they're shaking their digital fists at us.
These guys, they keep doing this.
And they keep not ending the podcast when they promised.
Maybe next week it'll be different. I have to find out.
Is it going to be 3 hours next week, or are they going to do a 15-minute episode?
It's definitely not going to be different next week. All right. So we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you at that time next week.
Damn right we will. All
right.
Man, what a breeze. Only one episode this week.
It was great. All right. Good night.
35 years later, and nothing much has changed. Those in charge are living
out to
Master
Aldi Rain. Because I still
hate you. Can't wait to rain you. Because
You might stop in that noise.
The temperature's rising, the vehicle
as well. Yeah, okay, fine. I just like that song. Okay, I'm sorry. Apologies.